When you first walked through the door at Radio Trent, what were your first impressions when you came for the very first time?
I was amazed it was so large, because I'd been to Radio Hallam in Sheffield and I mentally thought they'd be exactly the same. And also I was very ignorant because I thought that Radio Trent was in Stoke-on-Trent as well. So when the train arrived at Nottingham, it was a bit of a surprise. But I was shown around the whole station and I was just amazed. It was this massive, great building, which outside looks quite big, but inside, of course, it's like a great cavern.
How soon after that was your first show?
I think I came here on the Tuesday or the Wednesday, and I was on air on the Saturday. And I dug up all my old jingles from my previous radio station and just regurgitated them here for the first few weeks. So I didn't have any time to prepare anything at all for it.
What would you remember about the first show? Is there anything that sticks in your mind about it?
I remember going to some bookshops in Nottingham and buying some books with old recipes in about kind of Nottingham goose and having to do a cookery spot on Saturday mornings of some kind. I was trying to do something very local because I wanted to get to know the area, and you can only do that by actually kind of, you know, giving material out and then hoping to get any feedback back. And we did a recipe for Nottingham goose with gooseberry sauce or something, which was about a medieval recipe, and I always remember that's one of the first things I did.
What about the area, coming into a place with a local radio station? What about familiarising yourself with the area and perhaps the local place names? Was that difficult for someone who'd come from a different place?
It wasn't too difficult because I'd worked in two other radio stations, Manchester and Newcastle, beforehand, and I was very aware that it's incredibly important to get to know people's areas. And in Newcastle, you could offend somebody by just pronouncing a name wrong who was on the other side of the river.
Trent, sorry, I didn't see the open light.
You got this job at five, jingles.
Sorry, my God, starring again on the old wall, I tell you what. Getting up.
Shall I start? What's the question again?
I think you more or less exhausted that one, that's all right.
Right.
Is there anything you remember about the time you went 24 hours? I've got all the dates and everything, but do you remember that particular night when Trent went on 24 hours for one of the first occasions?
I do, because I was doing, I think, the drive time show at the time, and I was the only person that was working late enough and early enough to be able to do that and do my own show. So I was given a company car and I had to drive back to Sherwood, but all the roads towards Sherwood are slightly uphill and there was so much snow that I had to drive the wrong way down lots of one-way roads and go right round the back, virtually down by the canal, and back up again up Mansfield Road to get home that night. It took me about 45 minutes to get up to Sherwood, then back again. So I went home, had something to eat, grabbed a pile of records for the programme and came in again, and that was it. It was the first time we went 24 hours.
Was it strange actually broadcasting across the night on the station, which wasn't usually 24 hours?
No, I enjoyed...
And under the circumstances as well, with the snow and everything.
Well, I enjoyed it because it was the first time, and I think it's always nice doing something for the first time. It's like when you do your first programme on a radio station or when you do something new on a radio station, you feel you're pioneering. And it was a good night, and I remember people were coming in, and we had babies being born in ambulances and stuff like this, and it was really great. It was like a little episode in its own. I went back, and next day it was like it never existed, because I slept for a while, then came and did the next show afterwards.
Len Grove, Deputy Programme Controller. What are the qualities you look for in a disc jockey? What makes particularly a Radio Trent disc jockey?
I think Radio Trent disc jockeys are a breed apart from other radio stations. We've got set standards here that we've always made very high, and we're always trying to improve them. So it's very hard to get somebody in here who hasn't worked on the radio before to be a disc jockey. A few people have come along who've had that magic quality that we've managed to find. But often we need to take somebody from another station and adapt them. More recently, we've managed to find local people who've heard Radio Trent for so long and understand why we do what we do that we've actually managed to get some people from the locality who are ready-made DJs, which is great because it's very easy for us, but... of course, they suit the station very well, and they immediately become successful.
Why is Trent different? It has often been said that we stand out, and when you come down the motorway, you can immediately recognise the sound of Trent. What is it about that sound? Is it anything definable?
Well, I'll probably get shot for saying this, but I think it's a bit old-fashioned. I think that radio in Britain was in a good state in the 1970s, and lots of the policies that I personally pursue and try and keep going on the station are those that were prevalent in British radio early on in the 70s, the early days of independent local radio, that the good stations, I would add, as opposed to the bad stations at the time. And I think that I personally am not swayed by fashion. It doesn't worry me whether a group is in fashion or out of fashion, or whether radio style of presentation is in fashion or out of fashion. If something is good, it's good forever as far as I'm concerned. I don't worry too much about the comings and goings of fashion year by year.
Jingles, obviously, are something which you're very heavily involved with. Tell me a bit about the jingles that Radio Trent now uses currently.
Well, a jingle package is something which I think is an ongoing process. You never kind of use a jingle package for 1 year and 1 day, then throw it away forever and start the next one. You constantly add to the jingle packages, and you You constantly add to the jingle package and you take out the ones that have proved weakest and put in new ones that are going to replace those to make them stronger. And years ago, we came up with this line, your 24-hour friend, on one jingle in one package. And somebody I know, a lady I know, said to me, that's the line. That's the line you've got to major. All through the next package, he said, just use that line. And I did, and she was right. And we've been using it ever since for 5 years now, your 24-hour friend, which I think is probably the best logo in Britain on radio. It says everything about the radio station, about the people we broadcast to.
Where are the jingles actually made?
The jingles are made in Manchester at a firm called Alpha Sound, which is run by people who used to work in radio themselves, so they've got a pretty good understanding of it. And we've used the same singers now for 4 or 5 years. A guy from Sad Cafe called Ian Wilson, also two girl singers called Sheila and Sue, and there's another girl called Melanie who does singing as well. And they're a team of singers, so they always sing very similarly, and they work together a lot, so they're used to doing close harmony vocals on the jingles.
Why have jingles in the first place?
I think jingles are very important because it's rather like asking why do you have billboards everywhere for a product. We all know that certain products are good, but jingles tell you the product's good and remind you it's good. It's very easy to take anything for granted nowadays. It's very hard to surprise anybody nowadays with something you're doing which is good, and we just take certain things for granted. I think you've got to say we are the best. No, we are your 24-hour friend, and keep reinforcing it regularly.
Just referring back to 70s, late 70s. Any memories of the morning show which you did for quite some time?
Well, I remember Wendy Parkinson coming in with her double kind of gas burner each week and kind of cooking various recipes actually in the studio. And people didn't believe we used to do that. We actually used to cook live in the studio. There was Sue Fletcher doing the beauty spot. You know, hello, girl, Sue here. With this big husky voice and advising on pimples and promiscuity and other stuff like that. She was a good laugh. We also had Dominic Gregory doing the gardening spot. And I think the programme at that time was trying out new methods. We were experimenting a lot on the air then, and quite a bit of what has happened since on the radio station we pioneered in those days by having features in programmes. People were scared to put speech on the radio. I was scared about doing it. I thought, oh, the ratings will go down. But we did it well, I think, and I think we enjoyed it. And everybody used to write in and say, can I have a copy of this leaflet and that leaflet? And at the time, people were reacting very well to what we were doing, and we knew that Trent was taking off in 1977, 78, for the first time in a really big way.
And finally, the future. What would you see as, at the end of 1 10-year period, projecting it forward? Is it going to be a time of change or consolidation or what?
I didn't hear the question, sorry.
The next 10 years.
I don't like to think any more than the next 4 weeks of the programme Holiday Road, which I do here. I look no further than that into the future. I just enjoy every kind of week here for some different reason. It's always a challenge working here because we are a tightly knit team. And I enjoy each week by week. I never look too far ahead. The farthest I can think now is the next jingle package, you know. But it's always exciting. The records come in the morning. You open up the records in the library. The new releases come in. Every day has got something new to offer. And radio is one of those careers that if you can get into it, it's very challenging and it's constantly enjoyable.
Right.
Is it all right?